Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
We thank the Lord, and I want to welcome you to our times of impartation service. We went on a little break, but we are back. You may be seated. All right. And thank you very much for being here tonight. All right. I'm sure you're wondering why things are being kept so low. It is because the annual ban on drumming and noise making has started. It started last week, Friday. So all churches in the community have received a letter to the effect that we must respect the ban, all right? So from now till the 21st of May, we're going to keep things quite low, all right? And we need to know how to just worship God and praise Him without drums and all these other musical instruments. Well, the keyboards we can play, but the Bible says that they that worship the Lord must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It didn't say must worship Him with drums, with congas, with percussion and bass guitar. Of course, there are other places in Scripture where we are asked to praise God with musical instruments. But it's important for us to get to the place where the absence of certain things will not affect the worship that we lift up to the Lord. Can I have an amen? Yeah. And so I think it's going to be a great time. And if we handle it well, it will deepen our relationship with God and our closeness with Him. Somebody say, I hear you. All right. Now, for the month of April, our focus has been on Jesus and His finished work on the cross. That's what our focus is. So this month is our Easter month, and we've also dubbed it our Resurrection Power Month. So you may have noticed that throughout the month, what's today's day, the 15th? All right, so we are halfway through the month. But since the beginning of the month till now, we've been talking about the cross. So we've looked at the cross as where justice was satisfied, where the grace of God was released. And for the Sundays, this past couple of Sundays, I've been talking to you about the victories of the cross. Is that not so? All right. Now, for our times of impartation from now till the end of April, I will want us to look at another important subject, which is connected to the benefits that are ours as a result of the finished work of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And I want to start a series with you about the believer's position in Christ. Amen. The believer's position in Christ. Now, is this important? Of course, it is important. And it is important because the believer's position in Christ is the foundation upon which the believer is supposed to live. The believer is supposed to pray. The believer is supposed to fight. And the believer is supposed to win. I'll say that again. The believer's position in Christ is the foundation upon which the believer is supposed to live. The believer is supposed to pray. the believer is supposed to fight and the believer is supposed to win. Amen. Now, if you're going to live a victorious Christian life, it's going to happen if you understand what your position is in Christ. If you're going to be able to pray and have answers to your prayers, it will have to be from the place of your position in Christ. One of the reasons why sometimes our prayers are not answered is because we are not praying correctly, or we are praying amiss. And you pray amiss when you don't pray with the awareness and consciousness of what your position in Christ is. If all your prayer is erade home mobo, erade home mobo, erade home mobo, home mobo, home mobo, mobo 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 mobo, home mobo, mobo 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 mobo, home mobo. That's all the prayer that you pray. And then all you pray is miniobia tese wa woman sitting. And all your prayers are in that direction. Don't be surprised if nothing much is changing in your life. Can I have an amen? You must pray with an understanding of what your position is in Christ Jesus. Now, we are involved in a fight. The Bible says we must fight the fight of faith. We must contend for the faith. So the believer's life is a fight. It's like you are boxing or busking. It depends on where you grew up. But if you're fighting, you must fight from the position or from the place where you understand what your position is in Christ. And if you're going to win your battles in this life, it must be from a certain understanding of what your position is in Christ. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the reason why I am emphasizing to us that the believer's position in Christ is the foundation upon which we live, upon which we pray, upon which we fight, and upon which we win. Can somebody say an amen? And if you do not know who you are in Christ, what's going to happen is that you will live far below what Christ has already finished. If you don't know who you are in Christ, you will live and operate below capacity. And you may end up not seeing all the things that God has put together and prepared for you. I'll refer you back to a series I did some time ago. One of them is Calvary Must Not Be in Vain. Do you remember that I shared that message with you some time ago? All right. Then another message that I shared with you was, don't accept it. Don't get used to it. All right. So I shared those messages with you. Calvary must not be in vain. Don't get used to it. Don't accept it. Just to help us to understand that there are so many things that God has put together for us. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. I want you to understand that there's so much that God has put together for you. And there are so many benefits that Jesus Christ has made available to you and I because of his finished work on the cross of Calvary. And his sacrifice must not be in vain. Tell somebody sitting next to you, I will not allow the sacrifice of Christ to be in vain in my life. Hallelujah. So, today we are going to look at the first in the series. So, I'm talking to you about the believer's position in Christ. This is part one. The believer's position in Christ, part one. And the subtitle is A New Identity. The believer's position in Christ, part one, a new identity. The believer's position in Christ, part one, the subtitle is a new identity. Will you please turn your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're reading from verse number 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, We are reading verse 14 to verse 21. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. So follow me closely as I read. It says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer." Now just pause there. I think that this is probably the verse that you may struggle with, because the first few verses that I read, I think, are quite simple, or relatively simpler to understand. Over here, he says that from now on, we regard no man according to the flesh. Now, when he talks about regarding somebody according to the flesh, what he's saying is that don't just evaluate people from a natural or a human perspective. That's what it means. And this is in reference to anybody who is in Christ. That when you see a believer, when you see a Christian, when you see a child of God, don't just assess him from the natural. Don't just look at the person's physical appearance. Don't just look at the person's social standing. Don't just look at the person's educational background. Don't just look at the person's ethnicity or the color of his skin. Don't do that. So what the scripture is just trying to get us to know is that when somebody is in Christ, the person is no longer an ordinary person. So don't just look at the person, you know, from a human or a natural perspective. And then he goes on and says the same thing with reference to Christ, that even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. One of the reasons why people couldn't receive from Christ was because they knew him according to the flesh. They knew his family. They knew his brothers and sisters. They knew his background. They knew he was a carpenter. They knew he was born in Nazareth. They knew all these things, or they knew that he grew up in Nazareth. So it was difficult for people to relate with the fact that this Christ that was a carpenter who fixed their tables and chairs was actually the Son of God. Now, Paul, who wrote this letter to the Corinthians, he must have heard about Jesus and must have known about him. But he didn't have a certain relationship with him. Because at the time Jesus was around, Paul may have been between 20 or 25 years old. And he probably didn't like Jesus, because most Jews didn't like him. All right? But later on, he met Jesus and his life was transformed. And now he's saying that you must get to a place, if you are going to have a certain relationship with God, you must get to the place where you don't just look at Jesus according to the flesh. So that is what this verse means, and I hope I've helped you to understand it. All right, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation. The King James says he's a new creature. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. 19. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to him, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. 20. Now then, We are ambassadors for Christ. Tell the person sitting by you, I'm an ambassador. So respect me and relate well with me. I don't like the way you've been talking to me, but I don't blame you, because you don't know. If you know, you know. And from today, you know that me, as I'm seated here like that, I am an ambassador. So please call me honorable. Yes. Very, very important. Don't let people treat you anyway, anyhow, because you are an ambassador. He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And the last verse, 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. Amen. So, remember that I'm sharing with you on the believer's position in Christ, part one, a new identity. Now, your identity is who you are. Your identity is what defines you. And your identity is where your worth comes from. So when I'm talking about identity, I'm referring to your identity. Or anybody talks about your identity, the person is talking about who you are. The person is talking about what defines you. And the person is talking about where your worth comes from. Now, when you are a believer and when you are in Christ, you have a new identity. Somebody say, I have a new identity because I am in Christ Jesus. Because I am in Christ Jesus, I have a new identity. Hallelujah. If I talk about a new identity, it means that before you come into Christ, you must have an old identity. Does that make sense? Because we cannot talk about the new without talking about the old. And the truth is that, ladies and gentlemen, before you become saved and before you become born again, you had an old identity. If you are going to understand and appreciate your new identity in Christ Jesus, it will help to understand what your old identity was. Because if you don't understand that, you may not fully appreciate what your new identity is. So my intention is to talk to you about a believer's position in Christ, your new identity. But I want to connect that to what our identities were before Jesus Christ changed our lives and changed our destinies. Hallelujah. And if we do that, we would then be in a position to appreciate the greatness of our new identity. Because when we look at our old identity, we begin to see how dark and how horrible and how some way our old identity is. So that when you now look at your new identity in Christ Jesus, you will greatly appreciate it and you will greatly value it. Hallelujah. So let's talk a bit about our old identity. Now, this identity is before we met Christ. And this identity is before we encountered the cross. So before we met Christ, before you met Christ, before you encountered the cross, before you experienced the benefits of Christ's atoning work and his finished work on the cross of Calvary, who were you? Who were you? And how were you looked at? What was your value? What was your worth? So the old identity is before Christ and before the cross. The first thing you must identify about, you must understand about your old identity. Number one is that you were a sinner. You were a sinner. So your old identity is an identity of a sinner. Amen. I'm sure that the person sitting by you, you know, may feel very good But can you remind the person that before he or she came to Christ, he or she was a sinner? So tell the person, you were a sinner. Oh, hey. I didn't say tell the person you are a sinner. I said you were a sinner. Don't change the message. Eh? All right, so your identity, the first one, your old identity is the identity of a sinner. And you were a sinner, not just by nature, but by your actions. Romans 3:23. You want to say, Pastor, why are you saying that I was a sinner? Because the Bible says all of us were. So in Romans 3:23, New King James Version, let's read it together. Ready? Go. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many have sinned? All have sinned. All right? Then look at Romans 3 verse 10. Let's read that one too. And you're reading because these are short verses. Read it. Ready? Go. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. How many are not righteous? None. Everybody is not righteous. And if you are not righteous, you are what? A sinner. Romans 5 verse 12. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. Because of what? Because all sinned. All. So you can see from these three verses that everybody at a certain point can be described and called a sinner. That is your identity before you became saved. And you must understand that you were not a sinner because you sinned. Rather, you sinned because you were a sinner. Do you understand the difference? I'll say it again. You were not a sinner. You did not become a sinner because you sinned. But you sinned because you were a sinner. So this whole thing we are talking about, it is describing a certain nature of sin that everybody, before you encounter Christ, you have it. It's your identity. You are a sinner. So sin is not just something we did. Sin has to do with who we were. And what happened to humanity after Adam and Eve sinned is that they transmitted a nature of sin to every single human being. When you are born into this world, you are born with an identity of a sinner. And then you too, when you grow small, you start to demonstrate that I am a sinner. Look at even our little children and some of the things they can do. The other day, mommy was telling me that one of our little boys, I think somebody did something to Prince the other day. Is that not so? From Sunday school. Hey. Little children. What happened to him? What did his friend do to him? Another small boy who may be about his age. How old is Prince? Prince is 4. So maybe this little boy is about 4 years old. Only 4 years have passed. Do you understand? Then what that little boy did was he removed his shoe and hit his friend where? In the eye. Where did he learn to do bad? It is in the blood. Even look at the little baby there. Impatient. When small breast milk that she wants to drink, come and see the scene that she will cause. Or she's feeling sleepy, will be crying. And there are some of the children, hey, their crying is not easy. When they are crying, it's like the whole building is coming down. You know, so even with little children, you can see that the sin is inside them. And that's why I'm explaining to you that you are not just a sinner because you did bad. You are a sinner because it is your identity. Or you were a sinner because it was your identity and it was your nature. That is how you came into the world. So you must understand that before you met Christ, your old identity was an identity of a sinner. Do you understand that? All right. I remember some years ago, I was leading somebody in the sinner's prayer. And I asked him to pray, say, Heavenly Father, I come to you today. I come to you today just as I am. Just as I am. And I said, say that I know I am a sinner. And he wasn't saying it. So I opened my eyes and I asked him, why are you not saying it? I said, I don't understand why you are asking me to say that I am a sinner. So the guy didn't feel that he was a sinner. So I had to take my time and explain it to him before we could finish with the sinner's prayer. Some people are very complex, so I tell you. All right, your second, the second thing I can talk about, our old identity. Your old identity is the identity of somebody who is spiritually dead. Amen. Spiritually dead. That's your identity. Your old identity is an identity of somebody who is spiritually dead. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. So take note of that expression. It says, and you he made alive. Who is the you he's referring to here? Us. All right? And he's saying that he made us alive. And now he describes what our position or state was, or our identity was before he made us alive. He said we were dead in trespasses and sins. It continues, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So I'm drawing your attention to an old identity that we had before we met Jesus and before we encountered the cross. And this identity is that we were spiritually dead. Amen. So we were not dead physically. We were dead spiritually. And when you are dead spiritually, it means that you are separated from God. When you are dead spiritually, it means that you don't have a certain connection or relationship with God. That's what makes you dead. Amen. Let me just give you a couple of illustrations. So if you walk to any tree around here and then you pluck off a leaf from the tree, that leaf is dead, but it doesn't know yet. And why is it dead? Because it's disconnected from what gives it life. But when you give it a little time, it will become evident that it is dead, because then the green leaf would turn into a dry brown leaf. So it is dead because it is disconnected from what gives it life. Have you noticed that when water is stagnant and it is not flowing and it's not connected to a flow, it begins to stink? Is that not so? Yeah. And when it starts stinking, it's a sign that it is dead because it is disconnected from a certain source, from a certain flow. So before we met Christ and before Jesus came into our lives, our old identity, one way you could describe us was that we were spiritually dead. We looked okay. We looked like everything was all right with us. But we were actually dead. I mean, it's like you have a nice phone. The phone looks nice and everything, but the battery is dead. So the phone looks okay. And you can see that this is a nice iPhone. iPhone 17 Pro Max. But the battery is dead, so it's of no use to you. And ladies and gentlemen, before we came into Christ, before we met Christ, we were spiritually dead. That is an aspect of our old identity. Amen. Amen. The third thing to describe our old identity is that before we met Christ, our old identity was children of wrath. Before you met Christ, your old identity is a child of wrath. Wrath is another word for anger. A child of wrath or a child of anger. So look at Ephesians 2 verse 3. We read from verse 1 to 3 earlier, but I want us to zero in on verse 3, where it says, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Now look at the next thing it says. My screen is off. And we're by nature children of wrath. And we're by nature children of wrath. All right? Just as the others. So here, our old nature is being described. And the Bible says that we were children of wrath. So that was our old identity. That's your old identity. That's my old identity. Before Christ, I was a child of wrath. Now, to understand this better, let's look at the same verse from the New Living Translation. It says, all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger. So the New Living Translation puts it differently. It says, we were subject to God's anger. The New King James Version says, we were children of wrath. And what this means was that even though God loved us, because we were sinners, and because God is righteous and just, he could not just ignore what we were. So he loved us. But because we were sinners, his anger and wrath was upon us. Now, if you have a child, you love the child. But sometimes when the child does something bad or wrong, you become angry with the child. And at that point, the child is subject to your anger. The child becomes a child of wrath. But it doesn't mean that you don't love the child. And that's what we were before we found Christ. We were children of wrath. God has loved us from the very beginning. But he's just and righteous. And he couldn't just blink his eye and ignore that we were sinners. So it subjected us to his wrath and brought us under the anger and under the judgment of God. So ladies and gentlemen, your old nature, my old nature, is a nature of a child of wrath, somebody that God is angry with. That's a very disturbing thing. Is that not so? Yeah. So that was our old nature. We were children of wrath. Then number four, the old nature, we were under the power of darkness, or the old identity. We were under the power of darkness. We were under the power of darkness. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. Part of our old identity was that we were under the power of darkness. So it says in Colossians 1, 13 to 14, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. So see that expression, the power of darkness. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. That means that we were under the power of darkness. It continues, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. So, the Bible is saying He's delivered us. So, before He delivered us, we were under the power of darkness. We were under the dominion of darkness. And to understand what this darkness is, look with me at Acts chapter 26, verse 17 to 18. This is part of the sermon that Paul preached to King Agrippa when he was brought before him. And he was explaining to King Agrippa how he encountered Jesus on his way to Damascus to do bad, and the things that Jesus said to him. And so he tells him in verse 17 of Acts 26, Paul speaking to King Agrippa, he said, Jesus told him, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles. Now, you must understand that Paul, everywhere he went, people didn't like him and tried to kill him. He was hated, very much hated. So that's why Jesus is saying that I'm going to deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles. And then to whom I now send you, I'm sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes. Then look at the next thing he says, in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So it talks about delivering people from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Whenever we talk about being under the power of darkness, what we mean is that you are under the power of Satan, and you are under the power of demons, and you are under the power of dark powers. Amen. So your old identity before you met Christ was that you were under the power of darkness, under the dominion of darkness, and under the influence and control of Satan, evil spirits, and demons. That's our old identity. Number five, two more to go. Part of our old identity. Your old identity is a slave to sin. You were a slave. Your old identity before you met Christ was an identity of a slave. Aqua, a slave to sin. Which means that sin was our master. That was our identity. We had a master called sin, and we were slave to this master. So Romans 6, 17 to 18, it says, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So before you encountered Christ, before you met Christ, you were a slave of sin. A slave of sin. And sin was your master. Sin was not just an occasional mistake. It was actually your master before you found Christ. And that constitutes part of your old identity before Jesus came into your heart. Last but one, an enemy of God. Our old identity was an identity where we were enemies of God. You were an enemy of God. Amen. You were an enemy of God. Romans 5 verse 10. Romans 5 verse 10. It says, for if when we were, when we were what?
Enemies.
For if when we were enemies, talking about what we were before we met Christ. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So before you met Jesus, before you gave your life to him, before you received him as Lord and Savior, your old identity was that you were an enemy of God. You were an enemy of God. And we were enemies of God because our very nature, our minds, our attitudes, our behavior opposed God, making us his enemies. So that's part of the old nature. And then the last part of the old identity is that you were without hope and without God. Your identity was the identity of someone. Your old identity was the identity of someone who was without hope and who was without God. So Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12. Ephesians 2 verse 12. It says that at that time you were without Christ. Now it is describing what without Christ meant. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Having no hope and without God in the world. This describes the identity of someone who hasn't met Jesus. And before you meet Jesus, your identity, your old identity, is of someone who is without hope and without God. Look, this may be difficult for some people to accept. And sometimes when you look at people and they look so accomplished, they look so successful, they look like everything is together for them. Let me tell you, all of that is a facade. Deep inside them, there is an emptiness and there is a separation from God. People like to keep up appearances and to paint a picture of everything is okay with me. And sometimes you look at people and you admire them and you wish you could be like them. But I want you to understand that the identity of anyone who has not received Jesus as Lord and Savior is that that person is without hope and is without God. And that is a very terrible state to find yourself. So ladies and gentlemen, to understand our new identity in Christ, which is an aspect of the believer's position in Christ, I have exposed to us what our old identity was before now. We've been issued with a new identity. So seven things I shared with you. Number one, it's part of your old identity. To recap, you were a sinner. Say, I was a sinner. Number two, you were spiritually dead. Say, I was spiritually dead. Number three, you were a child of wrath. Say, I was a child of wrath. Number four, you were under the power of darkness. Say, I was under the power of darkness. Number five, you were a slave to sin. Say, I was a slave to sin. Number six, you were an enemy of God. Say, I was an enemy of God. Number seven, you were without hope and without God. Say, I was without hope and without God. These seven things describe the old identity of anyone who is a believer today. These seven things. So, in summary, before we met Jesus and before we encountered the cross, we were not just lost. We were dead. We were enslaved. We were condemned. And we were separated from God. That was our old identity. And this we must appreciate. Otherwise, we cannot understand or we cannot greatly value our new identity in Christ. So this is something that we must remind ourselves of constantly, of what we were before, but the great change that has taken place. As a result of that, we are new and we have a new identity in Christ Jesus. So now, let's start to look at the new identity. The believer's position in Christ, a new identity. So this new identity is after we met Christ and after we encountered the cross. After you meet Christ and after you encounter the cross, you have a new identity. That is described by the following descriptions. Number one, a child of God. Amen. A child of God. Your new identity, ladies and gentlemen, is that you are a child of God. Lift up your hand and say, thank God, I am a child of God. So if I ask you, who are you? What will your answer be? If I ask you, who are you? What will your answer be? You are not convincing me. If I ask you, who are you? What will your answer be? I am a child of God. That's your new identity. John chapter 1, verse 11 to 13. The first aspect of your new identity in Christ Jesus is that you are a child of God. And in John chapter 1, verse 11 to 13, it says, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave the right, to them he gave the right to become what? I didn't hear you. Children of God. He gave the right to become children of God. As many as received him, to them he gave the right, or he gave the power to become children of God. To those who believe in his name. How many believe in the name of Jesus? What does that make you? A child of God. Who was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You are a child of God. I said you are a child of God. Walk through life with this firm belief and understanding that you are a child of God. So when you sing a song like, Major, you're in it. Major, you're in it. Oh, in it, yes, me. Me papa your hene, enti me your hene ba, me your hene, enti me your hene ba, me your hene, enti me your hene ba, me your hene. You see, you don't believe it. That's why you are not singing it with conviction. Yeah, utrimo ya ode nyasa. Esa utrimo ya ode. Because you are not an ordinary person. You carry a new identity. And your identity is that you are a child of God. It doesn't matter whether you feel it or not. Even if you don't feel it, it doesn't change the fact that you are a child of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. So you are a child of God. That is your new identity. I mean, can you imagine this scenario? Actually, last Saturday, I visited a couple in their home, I needed to have a meeting with them about certain things, and they took me somewhere to have the meeting. But on our way back, I saw this very beautiful house with a lot of glass windows and everything. And they told me that this house belongs to a pastor who doesn't live here. He lives in Australia. But every now and again, he comes down to visit. But I don't even know why they gave me that information. Well, actually, they were telling me what work the pastor does. The pastor works with children who are handicapped, children who have autism and all of those other things. And they told me that pastor stepped into that ministry because he himself had a child like that. You know, children who need special care and attention. But then they went on and said something to me, that this pastor, he's actually adopted somebody from Zimbabwe who is like his son. And that recently when he came down, he came with this boy. And this boy's parents, he flew them down from Zimbabwe to be with them there. Now, this child is not his biological son. He is an adopted son. But because he is an adopted son of a great person, of a wealthy person, of an influential person, there are so many benefits that have come to him. Do you understand what I'm explaining to you? Yes. And it is like an influential person just walks through circle, and then he sees these children who are begging, looking very wretched, tattered, and everything. Then he finds out who the parents are, and then he adopts the child, and the child becomes like his child. He didn't give birth to him, but he's taking him as his own. And ladies and gentlemen, that is what God has done with us. He has adopted us and he has made us his children. So if you ask that, what is my new identity in Christ? Your new identity in Christ is that you are a child of God. And we have been adopted as God's children. And it has changed our identity. So ladies and gentlemen, your position in Christ gives you a new identity as a child of God. Let that sink deep into your spirit and into your heart that I am a child of God. Not the child of any ordinary person. If you are the child of an ordinary person, there is nothing bigger about your life. Amen. How many of you wish that you were the child of Elon Musk? Akusia. Yeah. Or how many wish that you are the son of Mr. Rokoto, who is living in an obscure village somewhere? There's a difference. So your new identity is that of a child of God. That is who you are. Which means that we must carry ourselves with a certain dignity, a certain self-respect. Not behave any way, anyhow, but understand what our new identity is, which is an identity of a child of God. Lift up your hand and say it again. I am a child of God. Let's do one more with regards to your new identity and we close. The other aspect of your new identity, or another aspect of your new identity, is that you are joint heirs with Christ. You are a joint heir with Christ. you are a joint heir with Christ. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 17, our last scripture for the day. Romans 8, 14 to 17. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." So you can see children of God here again. Is that not so? Then now it's explaining even further what kind of child you are. And it says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." So here the scripture makes it expressly clear that we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Two things it says there. It says we are heirs of God and we are joint heirs with Christ. So when we say we are heirs of God, it means that we have an inheritance that comes from God himself. That's what it means to be the heir of God. You have an inheritance that comes from God himself. Then it explains it further. We are joint heirs with Christ. And what that means is that everything that belongs to Christ as a son is shared with you as a believer. Hallelujah. Everything that belongs to Christ as the Son of God is shared with you as a believer. It's part, it's an aspect of your new identity. You are joint heirs with Christ. So we have not just been forgiven, but we have been included in Christ's inheritance. It means we share in his righteousness, we share in his authority, we share in his power, and we share in his glory. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So that is your new identity, and that is who you are in Christ. So number one, you are a child of God. It's your new identity. Number two, you are a joint heir with Christ. It is your new identity. Oh, how I wish that all of us will understand this truth and grasp this revelation deeply. I tell you, if we do, it will change a lot of things for us. Because you are not an ordinary person. You are a child of God. It's your new identity. It's an identity that you have because of your position in Christ Jesus. And not just that, you are joint heirs with Christ. It means that everything that Christ has is yours to share in as well. And as we close tonight's service and we go, let these things continue to ring in your spirit and in your mind. When you go back, meditate on it and think about it even further. That as I'm walking about like an ordinary person, I'm not as ordinary as I think I am. I am a child of God and I am a joint heir with Christ. So if I ask you, who are you in Christ Jesus? What would your response be? Number one. And number two. Say it again. Who are you and what is your new identity? One more time. I'm asking you, who are you and what is your identity in Christ? Hallelujah. Clap your hands and bless the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you have revealed to us today concerning our position in Christ Jesus and the new identity that we have. Thank you for changing our old identity and taking us away from a miserable life, from a miserable identity, from a life of trouble, a life of hopelessness, a life of separation from you, a life of destruction, a life of slavery, a life of shame. Thank you for taking us out of that life. And thank you for who you have made us in Christ Jesus. We thank you that we are the people of God. We are the children of God. And we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And let the people of God say, Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.